I'm thrilled to introduce Theodora Scarrato, Executive Director for Environmental Health Trust, whose tireless work on behalf of this issue has actually been pivotal to where we are today. Theodora has an extraordinary mastery of many aspects of this issue and was able to work closely with the attorneys in this case in order to move us as far as we are at this time. Please do look at our website, which she plays a major role in keeping going. And please do join us, sign up for our newsletter, and support us through our Patreon program, where you'll get access to podcasts with Theodora and me, talking with people like Professor Taylor and others. And now I'm thrilled to introduce Theodora Scarrato, Executive Director for Environmental Health Trust.
So I believe, as I said, this is a win for everyone. I came into this issue nearly a decade ago. I'm now Executive Director of Environmental Health Trust, but when I first learned about this issue, I was so impressed with the tremendous work at that time, a decade ago, that had been done by scientists, by public health officials, and by people around the world to get accountability on this issue. And their efforts brought us to this moment. I'm going to answer some of the questions that are in the chat right now with what I'm about to say. So I'm honored to have been a part of this winning case, which shatters the assumption, as Cindy Franklin talked about, that FCC limits are protective and that federal agencies have reviewed the latest research, all of the latest research, because the court found that the FCC was unable to defend its wireless radiation limits and what they put forward. So we will see what happens next. However, as Dr. Moskowitz of the University of Berkeley stated, the dam of denial has begun to crack. We have US government military records going back decades showing harmful effects from wireless radiation at very low levels. The EPA was defunded from developing proper safety limits. And the 1996 limits that we have are based on recommendations from industry tied groups and really on a handful of animal studies, animals which were exposed for a short time to intense amounts of radio frequency radiation and done decades ago. They are no longer relevant. So EHT scientists, as Dr. Devers said, have testified to Congress on this issue, the very issues that this case centers on in 2009, in 2008. We've met with the FCC. We've also met with the FDA, informing them of this information. However, the wireless industry has made big tobacco look like a mom and pop shop with the tactics that have been engaged in to downplay the science by not only designing science that shows no effects, but by impacting the way the media presents scientific studies and the way the public understands them, and by attacking the credibility of scientists who've long worked on this issue, and by heavy lobbying and funding to our members of Congress, and by ensuring that the federal agencies that are supposed to protect us are captured or defunded or defer to the FCC, which is a captured agency. The US government websites, and we talk about this, the question was asked, well, how do we go moving forward? The Environmental Health Trust has put forward and already sent a letter to President Biden. We also sent to President Trump a letter in the previous administration. We are going to now update that letter to President Biden with the information from this winning legal action. But the US government websites, I mean, just about the many things that need to happen now. To start with, the US government websites, such as the CDC, the EPA, the FCC, the National Cancer Institute, they currently create a false illusion of safety. And as we pointed to in earlier press conferences, that information is really not the state of the art information. And we have the information from our FOIAs that the CDC hired an industry funded scientist as a subject matter expert to draft several website pages, which people read when they want to find out about this issue. They are currently online. Some were never posted. The EPA website was completely scrubbed to simply link to FCC statements just a few years ago. And NIH actually removed some web pages off their website related to this issue after a conference where I presented along with Frank Clegg and other experts. the FDA website was redone to headline cell phone safety, despite no review, as the court pointed out, for impacts to brain development, impacts to reproduction, and this all needs to be corrected just as a start. So our next steps are holding the US government accountable to the people and to the environment. We need a full environmental review for the massive 5G deployment and the 4G small cell proliferation. We need an FCC commissioner that is not industry tied. We need to prioritize in our infrastructure wired, not wireless, to decrease public exposure and to decrease environmental exposures. And most importantly, we ultimately need safety limits that consider long-term effects, that consider children, that protect wildlife and the environment and protect medically compromised people and people who are more sensitive to this radiation. So we're going to be following the next steps of the FCC very closely. If we can submit new evidence to the record, we need every person listening to this press conference to be ready to submit testimony. And please stay in touch with us, sign up for our newsletter so we can let you know what the next steps are from the FCC so that we can ensure that they have heard from all of the people and that they are accountable to us. We also have news in regards to the WHO EMF project and ICNIRP, which we will be releasing soon. So please go to Environmental Health Trust to learn more about this. And we also hope that people will write to Congress demanding an investigative hearing on how this could have happened. And we need immediate action to reduce public exposures rather than increase it with more wireless networks so that our exposure limits, we need exposure limits based on a robust review of all of the evidence